ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
It's a hard pill to swallow when the laws you follow are enforced on land your ancestors were wrongfully mounted on. And the very principles this country's founded on can't be counted on in time of crisis and confusion. What an illusion they've pulled off on us, misused and lost our trust too many times. But ain't too many rhymes been written about this, so I'm pissed, because for some odd reason we feel like it's better that less is said, but for God's sakes, niggas, they left us for dead, dying. And there's no denying them fathers crying with their family's sidewalk written. What was so cleverly hidden is now in plain vision for all to see. We want y'all to see how this country does its poor and downtrodden. This is an instance that must not be forgotten. It's for keeps. Long after the media sweeps, political name calling and lying, cinematography to desensitize the eyes so we don't cry no more when we see people dying in despair. We don't care. We just changed the station. We live in a nation where the poor have nothing but time to spend, so we left waiting, tailgating floodwaters outside the Superdome. Home no more, showing no more love than some of them third world countries we take over. This the real rape over. And this ain't young boy frustrated emotion. This is grown man rationale. Hard to admit my nationale don't give a fuck about its own, but the evidence is clear. We could stack it up. Kanye made a statement. Ice here to back it up. It's true. We live in a beautiful world, but ugly souls push the buttons. The gluttons of society. Top priority, making sure the rich folk stay rich folk. Pitch folk type thinking. New Orleans been sinking. This ain't a new issue. The Ninth Ward been the tissue that the city wipes his ass with. Like in the past with the first flood, way before Bush contracted Halliburton to restore back the order, they used dead black bodies to try and hold back the water. Such disorder in a country that burns so much money. I'm telling you, you learn so much money when you just open up a book and look inside. That's where they hide the evidence. These fucked up presidents and their constituents pitch you against your own mind here. Fuck up your mind here, yeah. They got opportunities and jobs for the poor. It's called prison life and warfare, nigga. That's your share of the American pie. But you got to lie, steal, and cheat to get it. Step on somebody's feet to get it. And our toes have been swollen for so long. They do us so wrong, but we just stand there and take it. Nature rips the mask off, so now they can't fake it. We stand here butt naked, nigga. This is your nation's poor. But you still turn around and ask us for our kids for war. And them battalions from the bayou that don't know what they over there fighting for, what the fuck can you possibly say to them when they learn their parents died, casualties of the war on poverty, waiting for help outside a fucking stadium.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 71 of the report. And before I get started, let me let you guys know what that was, man. That was a poem on Def Poetry Jam a few years back. As a matter of fact, it's almost 10 years ago now, after the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. That was Black Ice with the Ugly Show. So definitely go check that out. Go check that video out. I've got it on the SpanReport.com, so you can check that video out for yourself. But I play that poem. I play that spoken word because I think it's very relevant even today as far as what we're dealing with when it comes to what's going on. And not only just Baltimore, but with Ferguson and everywhere else where we're having uprisings, where folks are getting a little sick and tired of the way that they're being treated by law enforcement in this country. So I felt it was relevant. I felt it was very relevant. And I think it was amazing how relevant that situation still is today, that we're still dealing with these sort of issues. So shout out to Black Ice for that piece, man. I felt it was real, real apropos for what we're going to be talking about tonight, right? But before we get into the show, of course, you know, I am your host, Mr. Span. But before we get into the show, man, let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the Span Report and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up on the hotline. The hotline is area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. 888-488-0485. Leave me those voicemails. I will play those messages on the show. And, of course, I respond to those on the show as well. You can also leave me an email. The email to the show is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I will read those and reply to those on the show as well. Also, if you want to chop it up with your man doing a regular, you know, just on the day-to-day, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So on Twitter and on Instagram, hit me up there. And, of course, for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com. All of the podcast episodes, all of the videos associated with it, all the poll entries, everything associated with the Span Report. With the Span Report, go to thespanreport.com and get your fix there, man. And also, leave me a review on Stitcher and on iTunes. You know, that really helps the show grow. That lets people know what it is that's going on here at the Span Report. That lets people know what it is that you like or dislike about the show. But at the end of the day, it grows the show and it lets people know what's going on here at the Span Report. So leave me a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And let folks know what you're thinking about the Span Report. You know, let your voice be heard. Trust and believe me. And, of course, because these shows are broadcast live on YouTube, you can leave your comments on YouTube. Those that are relevant to what it is we're talking about will get read on the show. Okay? No BS is going to get read. But all of the comments that are relevant to what it is that we're talking about on the show will be read on the show as well. All right. Let's get into it. Yeah, man. I'm not feeling well. Your boy been like dealing with some allergy issues. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not. I feel it. But if you're watching, you can see I got some real puffy red eyes right now, man. These allergies are really kicking my ass. And yeah, it's just a time of year. And we got to deal with it, right? Especially with me working outside, man. I definitely got to deal with it. Hopefully I can find some sort of allergy medication that can alleviate this suffering that your boy is going through. Real talk, man, because this is I wouldn't wish this on anybody, man, for real. But yeah, man, it's been an eventful week. It's been a very eventful week. It's been a lot of things going on, man. Of course, I want to talk about some of the things that have been going on in Baltimore, man. I want to talk about the mother who dragged her son out of the riots and some of the accolades and some of the backlash that she's received because of that. Of course, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fought just last night. I really wanted to get this episode out before that fight, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. But we're going to talk about not only just the fight, but the domestic violence issues surrounding the fight and the way people consumed Or just the way people, you know, just kind of pick and choose where their line is when it comes to certain things. So we're going to definitely talk about that. There's an update in the Floyd Dent story that I wanted to bring to you guys about the Inkster man who was beaten by the police here in Michigan. So we're going to basically go into an update about that. And, of course, I got some listener feedback. I got a voicemail to listen to and respond to here on the show. So without further ado, let's get it rolling. And the first thing I want to talk about, man, of course, what happened in Baltimore, right? You know, we understand by this point that Freddie Gray was in police custody and suffered a catastrophic injury, suffering the severance of his spine up to 80%, right? And we've heard stories about you know, there have been stories to kind of discredit how it happened, right? We know the officers in question, there were six officers that were charged with Freddie Gray's murder, rightfully so. And it's just funny how some of these stories kind of manifest themselves. I've heard something about he voluntarily injured himself. You know, who does that? Who severs their spine voluntarily to seek no rewards, to seek no benefit or whatever? We've heard stories about property damage. It seems the funny thing about what's going on in Baltimore, it seems that like most of the media coverage surrounding what's going on in Baltimore was concerned about the property damage. I heard more about CVS this week than I care to repeat, really. And you think about race riots, right? When folks are when folks are dissatisfied with the status quo, when folks are in an impoverished position, when folks are in a disadvantaged point and they feel like they have no recourse, race riots tend to flare up. And we saw this immensely in the 60s, right? Well, I didn't see it personally. I wasn't here yet, but you know, in the 60s was a very turbulent time as far as race race relations and social conditions are concerned. You think about some of the numbers of the people who were killed in some of the old race riots, you know, like 3,000 people killed or 43 people killed and 3,000 businesses destroyed and miles and miles of city area destroyed. How many folks were, you know, like there's so many different, the scale isn't the same. Let's just put it like that. The scale isn't the same. The amount of damage done, the amount of people killed, the amount of people hurt, and the amount of people arrested never is not on the level of what we saw in the 60s, right? But that doesn't keep the media, that doesn't keep mainstream media from reporting on this as if things aren't as bad as they were in the 60s, right? So again, so we kept seeing a loop of that CVS store being burned, and we kept seeing a loop of folks looting and everything else. And then we heard the narratives of the gangs, right? The gangs were said to be coming together. They were on a truce so that they can get together to kill police officers, and that was labeled as a credible threat. We saw memos, internal memos of that being a credible threat, that the gangs were being put together. They were putting down their beefs so that they can get together and kill police officers. And this is what was put out in the mass media. This is how this was presented to those who aren't familiar with the area, those who aren't familiar with the people, and those who aren't familiar with that community, right? So we saw that that was phony. We saw that that was false, that that wasn't how they came, that came about. We saw that those gangs were actually facilitating that no one loot, right? They were stopping looting from happening. We saw that they were in a strange twist of fate becoming the peacekeepers, and the police were seen as those agitating those who would cause trouble, right? And it's definitely strange when you think about Bloods and Crips coming together to stop some shit. I mean, that's not the reputation that the Bloods and Crips have, right? So it was very interesting to see this juxtaposed like that, to see these gangs come together and to see them kind of quell a lot of the things that were going on down there. And that's not something that you traditionally see with the Bloods and the Crips, right? But we saw that. We saw that. We saw Fox News go down there and try to peddle a narrative of the looting, of the rioting, of the causing of trouble. We saw a lot of that over the course of the week. There's an interview with Nick Mosley. I think he's a city council person in Baltimore. And I wish I had that audio for you guys right now, where he pretty much shut down one of the Fox News reporters trying to pigeonhole him into talking about how bad the rioting is and how bad how unfortunate the looting is and how wrong it is of these people to be doing that. And Nick Mosley tried to basically educate this dude as to where the sentiment or where the attitude comes from to get a person to do something like that, to get a community to do something like that. And to a certain degree, not even to a certain degree, Fox News peddles a distinct narrative to show the depravity of the situation, you know, to kind of justify why it is that they, you know, why these people aren't worth the investment, why these people aren't worth saving, why these people aren't worth, they're not worth anything to a certain degree, to a certain segment of America. And Fox News is very, very prominent in promoting that message, right? So we saw that. We saw a lot of that. We saw Fox News getting their business on. We saw CNN doing some real clumsy reporting. Wolf Blitzer really was mad about that CVS. Really mad about that CVS. And it's funny how we equate property with life, right? Because a lot of folks that were out there rioting were upset over the needless loss of a life. This is what they were out there protesting. A man died in police custody. He should not have died in police custody, especially the way that he did. This is why they're out there rioting. And to add to that, the fact that this is a systemic issue, that this happens all the time, far too often, we're seeing this movie play out. We've seen it a lot, right? We know the playbook. We've seen the demonization of the victim. We've seen the lionization of the police officers. We know this playbook. We see it all the time. It plays out flawlessly every time. It never fails. All the time, right? So we see this happening. We see this happening, and it was... It's eerie in knowing that, right? It's eerie knowing that what you can watch this play out and know that what's going to happen next. Even if this is a totally different situation from the last one, you pretty much know how this is going to play out. It's a real eerie feeling. And so the media coverage of this was real clumsy, real over the top. But at the same time, it kind of puts you into a place where you kind of wonder, you know, how much are people invested in what's actually happening in these communities? And it's not just Baltimore. It's Ferguson. It's Detroit. It's Chicago. It's a lot of different places. I mean, we talk about what happened to Rekia Boyd a few years ago. And I'm going to, you know, I may talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But, you know, where she was killed by the police. Nobody really gave a damn. You know, Ayanna Jones killed by the police here. Nobody really gave a damn. But we're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. But these things are bound to happen in a lot of different areas across the country because folks are getting really fed up. They're getting really tired of having to have these interactions with the police in that way. So you had that going on, right? But society can kind of take a blind eye to it. Society can kind of not necessarily deal with that. You know, I sat up and it was funny and I felt it even then as I was watching CNN and I was flipping between MSNBC and then I'm flipping between the riots and the Bulls game. Right. Because I was disassociated. I wasn't dealing with that in the moment. Right. It wasn't my community. I didn't have any vested interest in that, right? Like, I really do want to know how my Bulls is doing. And there's privilege in that, right? There's privilege in that I can actually just say, you know what? Let me turn this channel real quick. I could turn the channel. I don't have to watch these people suffering. And that was another thing that Black Ice said in that opening piece, that we don't care. We just change the station, right? And to a certain degree, I was guilty of that. I didn't care. I just changed the station only to switch back. Like it was just something, like it was a movie. You know what I mean? And the thing of it is that I know it now, looking back on it, like looking back in hindsight, like, yo, I wasn't processing it, you know, in a certain way. I wasn't processing it in a way that I thought was, I don't know, valid to me. You know, it was just kind of, I wasn't attached. I was just like, damn. Because the last time I had heard anything about Baltimore, everything was going around, you know, it was going around pretty peacefully. You know, they were having peaceful demonstrations and they had the mayor out talking about how they are proud of the citizens for being out there peacefully demonstrating and everything else. And then like that, boom, things flipped. And I don't know what flipped, but I know things flipped and folks were pissed off, right? Folks were pissed off and they were letting the world know that they were pissed off. But the sad part about it is, the sad thing is that it took for that kind of thing to happen for folks to pay attention, right? It takes that sort of action for folks to pay attention. Like even then, some of us ain't paying attention. You had a lot of folks who were just that were inconvenienced, right? You know, you had a lot of people that were going to that Baltimore Orioles game that night that were inconvenienced that they couldn't go to a baseball game. You know, you had a lot of people who were like, they really wanted to watch this basketball game, but damn, they rioted in Baltimore. I really need to know what the hell's going on down there. That was an inconvenience. It's a mere inconvenience, but these people have been suffering for a long time and they're letting folks know that they're suffering and they're getting tired of it. They're fed up with it. And this is what happens. Boom. Right? This is what happens. So There's a quote that I keep seeing folks pass around. Dr. Martin Luther King said the riot is the voice of the voiceless. To a certain degree, that's very true. It's very true because nobody pays attention until some shit gets burned down, right? Everybody's mad about this CVS, but they're not necessarily mad about the systemic issues in Baltimore that cultivated that CVS even having to be burned down, right? That there was a man who had his spine severed by police, which facilitated the rage that those people felt to have that CVS burnt down. But we're still mad about CVS burned down. You know, they were looting. They were taking cell phones. They were doing this. They were doing that. Yeah, the police have been killing these folks. The city of Baltimore has paid over $6 million in settlements over the last few years because of police brutality. That's a systemic issue. Guess who pays for that? The citizens of Baltimore are also paying for that. So not only are they feeling the brunt of the police brutality, but they also have to pay the penalty for the police brutality because the city has to pay out those fines and those settlements. The city has to pay that out. $6 million over the last few years because the Baltimore police can't necessarily police correctly. That's an issue. That's a systemic issue. And it takes things like these Baltimore riots, and it happens in other places, but it takes things to where folks have to, like, you know what? I think we need to fuck some shit up before anybody are paying attention. And that's what happened, because they were peacefully protesting for over a week. There was no news media down there. CNN wasn't down there. Fox News wasn't down there. MSNBC wasn't down there. They had been peacefully protesting. They were upset about what happened to Freddie Gray. And then the minute some shit flipped, that's when the media felt like everybody swarms down on Baltimore, right? Everybody's got to be there. We got to get this narrative out. We got to pump this particular story. So, you know, there was the dishonest media coverage, man. There's this this disassociation that a lot of us, when we don't necessarily have to deal with it, is not in front of us, that a lot of us do. And I'm guilty of that. Like I said, I was flipping between the Baltimore riots when that shit kicked off, flipping between the Baltimore riots and the Bulls Milwaukee Bucks game, right? So there's a disassociation socially for a lot of us, right? Then another thing happened. There was this mom who saw her son. She recognized her son in the middle of the riots. Brother wearing like some sweatpants and a hoodie with a mask over his face. Yeah, three quarters of his face was covered up, but his mama knew who he was. And she smacked the shit out of him more than a few times. Went upside that boy's head. And rightfully so. And I see that. I saw that video. And, you know, this mom, she was getting a lot of praise. You know, everybody was calling her mom of the year. You know, Newsweek and the New York Post and all. She was doing all sorts of interviews all over the place. She was on Good Morning America. She was on This Morning with CBS. She was on The View. She got a lot of accolades. Now, I say that she got it rightfully so, right? Because you know what? When I saw that video, I saw my mother in that video. I saw my mother in that video, and that wasn't necessarily me getting my ass whooped. That might have been my little brother getting his ass whooped in front of everybody. But I saw my mom in that, right? Because here's a woman raising kids, doesn't want anything to happen to him, and she sees her son getting involved in something very dangerous, something that could result in him losing his life. And for a lot of people, you know, you think on, you're not even thinking on it. You're not really thinking. You do the best thing that you know at that particular moment to get somebody's attention. And the best thing she knew how to do was to smack that boy upside his damn head. Right. And she got a lot of praise for it. Corporal punishment. Yeah, this is what we need to do to these kids. Corporal punishment. These kids need their ass whooped. Right. And one of the first things that came to my mind as I saw all of these people giving her praise was like, you know what? Under different circumstances, this woman wouldn't be getting any praise at all. Folks would be ready to call the police on her. Right? A lot of these folks who were parading her around on these television shows and everything else, although in that particular moment, they thought she did a great job, they would have been calling the police on her. They would have deemed that child abuse. Kind of inconsistent in how we view corporal punishment, right? Especially as a society. You know, I'm one of the people I kind of feel like, you know, there's a time and a place. I do feel like there's a place for corporal punishment. I got my ass whooped as a kid. It straightened my ass out real well. Real well. Right. I was afraid of my mom. Not afraid, like deathly afraid, but I was afraid of disappointment and I was afraid of consequences because of the ass whoopings that I got when I was a kid. right? Now, my mother whipped my brother's ass. She did. My brother got a lot of ass whoopings. Didn't necessarily work with him, right? So that's not to say that, you know, everybody needs to get an ass whooping and it's going to straighten everything out. No, it's not going to straighten everything out. It doesn't work for everybody. It worked on me, right? It worked on me. Didn't necessarily work for my brother. Excuse me. So I'm seeing this woman. She's being paraded around. And on the surface, I'm like, okay, I get it. I saw my mother in that. I saw a desperate woman trying to do whatever she could to get her son out of harm's way, right? But then I started seeing some of the backlash that this woman was getting, right? And the backlash wasn't necessarily coming from mainstream media. It wasn't coming from any of the traditional places that you would think it would come from, right? I started seeing backlash coming from black men of this woman taking her son out of the fight, right? And so there were these memes that were popping up all over the place. I saw this one meme where they were talking about this lady. She emasculated her son. Like, she emasculated him in front of America. She was probably proud of the fact that she was emasculating her son in front of America, that she was making him afraid to fight for what he believed in, right? And I don't get that. I don't get that. I mean, here's the thing, and I think here's what I really think the issue is there, is that it's really easy for a lot of folks to say, yeah, let the boy do what he was doing. Go ahead, let him fight. Go ahead, let him throw rocks at the police. Go ahead and let him possibly get shot from the, you know, by the police, possibly ran over by a tank, whatever, right? Get caught in the crossfire of some shit between protesters and the police. Let him do that. Let him be a revolutionary. It's easy to say that because it's not your fucking kid. It's not your son. So it's easy for you to sit back and say, hey, she should have let him do X, Y, and Z, when you don't have to deal with the consequences of that. How can you tell a mother how to deal with the loss of a child? Especially when she could have prevented it, right? So if her son dies, what are you then to say? What words do you give that woman to comfort her after the loss of her child when she knows she could have prevented it? Which is what she rightfully did. You don't have to impose your politics like that on that child, right? Especially on someone who, for instance, didn't necessarily know exactly what it was that he was throwing rocks for, right? So it's real easy for a whole lot of dudes to sit back and say, well, yeah, man, she should have let him go ahead and fight, man. How he gonna grow up and learn how to fight for what he believe in? And she's smacking him upside his head in front of everybody. It's like, dude, your mom did you the same way. To a certain degree, your mother protected you from a whole lot of different things when she could. All of a sudden, everybody's like Monday morning quarterbacking their revolutions. It's real easy to do that when you're just watching it from your computer and you're watching it from your television and you're not actually invested in that fight. Real easy to tell somebody how they should deal with their child in a moment like that. And so a lot of folks took issue with the fact that she was being interviewed around the country, right? Like I said, CBS This Morning talked to this woman. She was on The View. They asked her, you know, they asked her about the situation, what it was that she thought and everything else. People thought that was a reward. Like, she was being rewarded for doing what she was supposed to do, or she was rewarded for emasculating her son. That's how they took it. She was emasculating him, and now here's the reward. They're going to parade her around all these TV shows. Is that her reward? Reward for telling what it is that she thought in that moment, telling what it is that she saw, how she felt. That's a reward, just to tell a story. Telling your story now is a reward. That's how we getting down now. It's a real sad thing, man. And it's one of those things where, like I said, I kept seeing so many brothers propagating this message, right? So many dudes walking around saying, yo, she emasculated her son in front of America, man. This is fucked up. We shouldn't allow this kind of thing to go on. She should have let that boy fight. Yeah, it ain't your son, dude. It's not your son. You do with your son how you see fit in an instance like that. But that's not your son. And I thought it was real, I thought it was real messed up, man. Real fucked up that it was a lot of brothers out here putting that sister down the way that they were, man. And it's going to be like a running theme today. It's going to be like a running theme. Hence the reason why this show is titled the way that it is. Do you really love her? Do you? Right? But I'm through with that. I'm done with that. I'm done talking about Baltimore for the moment. I'm done talking about Baltimore for the moment. Because, like, it's so much to unpack, man. It's so much to unpack. And I only got so much time. So, moving on, we're going to talk about this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, right? Now, here's the thing. We kind of alluded to this last week when I had Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips on. We talked about some of the passes that are given out for those of us who have a talent or money, right? And some of the passes that we give to, those who commit crimes who have these talents, right? And I know for somebody like myself, I'm a bit preachy. I know I can be a bit preachy when it comes to talking about certain character issues and certain things just kind of like draw my ire, right? You know, one of the things that I have a hang up about, I can't listen to R. Kelly music anymore. I can't support anything associated with R. Kelly anymore, right? Because of how I feel about what he did to children, right? Principally, I can't fuck with anything that R. Kelly messes with. I can't be a part of it. That's me, right? Although I would love for people to also feel that same way, I understand that folks aren't. Folks just aren't going to feel that way, right? So with Floyd Mayweather, outside of him, you know, for myself, I feel like he's a piss poor human being. But that's just my opinion, right? Outside of him being a piss poor human being, he's also a dude known for whooping women's asses, right? He's known for this, right? So out of this knowledge of him being known for multiple domestic violence cases, outside of the fact that I think he's a despicable human being, principally, I wouldn't feel right supporting watching that fight, right? Because I don't want to contribute to anything associated with Floyd Mayweather that would facilitate something else down the line, right? So that's where I was with it. I didn't watch the fight. I know a lot of folks who did watch the fight. I know a lot of folks who went to Vegas to watch the fight, which I thought was kind of odd if you didn't have access to. I don't know how true it was or not, whether or not MGM barred other venues from showing the fight or whatever. But, I get it. Some folks just want to be in the atmosphere. I get it. It's fight night. It's on their bucket list. They want to be in the atmosphere. By all means, do what you do. Have fun. But at the same time, principally, I couldn't even fathom support anything associated with Floyd Mayweather, right? And so, in talking about what's going on with Floyd Mayweather, man, one of the things that I think is, here's one of the observations that I've made, right? I talk to a lot of brothers. And sometimes, especially when we talk about sports and everything else, sometimes social issues does creep up into the conversation. And so, In the lead up to this fight, a lot of folks were asking, who do you support in this fight? Who you want to see win in this fight, right? I'm more so like, I want to see Pacquiao knock this dude the fuck out because of what I know about him, right? Because I know he's been convicted of domestic violence. I know he's been accused of domestic violence on multiple occasions. I know he's had more than one conviction on domestic violence. One of them was vacated. So knowing this and how I feel about it, it's like, I want to see Pacquiao knock this dude the fuck out, right? So I'm having conversations with some guys on Facebook. And it was interesting, like, when I mentioned the fact that I would root for the guy who doesn't have a reputation for whooping on women, that how swift the defense of Floyd Mayweather is when it comes to this issue, how swift the defense comes, because now folks feel like they have to defend why they are rooting for Floyd Mayweather. And I get it. If you're going to talk to me about why you're watching Floyd Mayweather, talk to me about why you think he's a great boxer, right? But don't defend the other shit that I'm talking about. And this is what I found a lot of dudes doing, defending this other shit that I'm talking about. So we're talking about the domestic violence, and I got brothers that's like, yo, you wasn't there, so you don't know. Okay? Here's the thing, right? And I want folks to kind of understand me when I say this. One of the reasons that I'm so adamant about this is that I need for us to be very fucking consistent. There's a need to be consistent in these types of things, right? So when Mike Brown gets shot down by Ferguson police last summer, I wasn't there. Neither was a whole hell of a lot of people that I talked to about this Floyd Mayweather thing. But we were all convinced that Darren Wilson didn't have to shoot him, right? Neither one of us was there. And we still think Darren Wilson got away with some shit, right? Justice for Mike Brown. Hands up, don't shoot. That was a rallying cry, right? We saw Eric Garner get killed by Officer Daniel Pantaleo, right? We saw that. We saw Daniel Pantaleo get off for killing Eric Garner, right? Justice for Eric Garner. I can't breathe. Hands up, don't shoot. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Then you start reading some of the details of what happened to Josie Harris. Floyd Mayweather punching her in the head, dragging her downstairs, twisting up her arms, and doing all of this in front of her kids. In front of two of his sons, too. Those are his kids also. In front of their children, Floyd Mayweather punched this woman in the head, dragged her downstairs, twisted her arm up in front of two of his sons. And everybody's quiet. Right? Everybody's quiet. Nobody wants to talk about how we were outraged at this, but we can't be outraged at that. See, when brothers are getting, when brothers are faced with a situation where somebody is abusing them and they have no recourse and it's happening with impunity, we set off fucking marches. We go and riot. We demonstrate exponentially. But when it's happening to our women, everybody's fucking quiet. Nobody's got shit to say. Everybody's getting nuanced as fuck. Everybody wants to act like, well, you know, bitches be provoking shit. You know what I mean? I've had this conversation this week with dudes talking about, yeah, man, you know, chicks always be like kind of, you know, pushing your buttons and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a chick falsely accuse me. Seriously? Even if that were true, it's still anecdotal and it doesn't actually mean shit. We're talking about the facts in this particular instance. It's anecdotal. It don't mean shit. Like, dudes are actively walking around defending domestic violence. Still, to this day, defending domestic violence. You know what? It was funny. Last year, Stephen A. Smith got into a whole heap of shit because he was defending what was going on with Ray Rice and Janae Rice when Janae Rice was knocked out in a hotel elevator by Ray Rice. And Stephen A. Smith went on this little soliloquy about women provoking the violence against them, right? Almost a year later, this motherfucker is still saying the same stupid shit. Check this out.
All charges have been dropped again.
Sorry, wrong clip.
When you go into what Freddie Roach believes and what he alludes to Manny Pacquiao feeling and how there's the spiritual conversion and all of this other stuff, what makes me uncomfortable is that they're also lumping all of this other stuff that, you know, Floyd Mayweather allegedly has done to say, well, you know what, look at how much of a bad guy he is. When you take the position that you take, Kerry, against Floyd Mayweather, I got no problems with it. You're a woman. You should feel that way. Anybody else, based on what he's been accused of, I get that. I have no issue whatsoever.
Okay, but wait a second. But are you taking that position solely because of his domestic violence record?
I definitely have an issue because of his domestic violence record.
But I think you have.
But I also have an issue with how he treats women, period, outside of the ring.
Okay.
I have a problem with who he is as.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that her position is clear. Because she's a woman and this is how she feels, how he conducts himself. I am a boxing fan. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, when I talk about Mayweather versus Pacquiao, I'm thinking about two dudes strictly in the boxing ring, okay. And that's all I'm doing. All right. Freddie Roach takes this to another level where anybody that's rooting for Floyd Mayweather, it's almost like, what kind of a person are you? And when you feed into it by grasping what he says, it's almost like, what kind of a person are you? Well, I'm a guy that loves boxing. I love the fact that he's a brilliant tactician in the ring. I want to see him going up against Manny Pacquiao because I've been waiting 6 years for it. That's all I'm thinking about. You ain't gonna sit up here and say, I can't condone what this man has been accused of. But in fairness to Floyd Mayweather, their camp will sit there and say to you, and Floyd has said this to me on more than one occasion, y'all act like Manny Pacquiao so innocent. I got news for you. The difference between my camp and me compared to Manny Pacquiao and his camp is that I don't sit there and talk about some of the stuff he's found himself in, but because I let that be. We'll handle it in the ring. I had Floyd Mayweather. Our stuff is going to be airing later on this month when I sat down with him. Floyd Mayweather said, I'm asking him questions about Manny Pacquiao. Well, I got to be careful. Because back in the day, you said something about somebody, y'all handle it like men, whether it's in the ring or outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. He said, this dude, I might get sued. So I got to worry about that.
I feel like more people agree with you in terms of they want to see two people fighting. Most of the people who come in here and they have them
make that pick, they don't care about his personal life. But I'm talking about Pacquiao supporters. I'm saying that the Skip Baylesses of the world and others, when we bring this stuff up, we're transcending what's going on in the boxing ring. And that's where it makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, wait a minute. If I counter what you're saying and I talk about Floyd Mayweather's going to give it to him, does that mean?
You're in an awkward position.
I'm in an awkward position. I don't think that's right.
And you could.
All right. Now, here's the thing. It was a couple of things in that particular clip that I found troublesome, right? When talking to Kerry Champion, who's also a host on, who's the moderator on First Take on ESPN, one of the things that Stephen A. Smith went on to say was, you know, she should feel a certain way about Floyd Mayweather because of his domestic violence history, right? As a woman, she should feel that way. Because she's a woman, she should feel that way. As a human being, you should feel that way, right? Nobody should get a pass on this. And I think far too often we give passes to those who are supremely talented in other ways. We give far too many passes. Floyd Mayweather has been the beneficiary of a lot of passes. When you think about the fact that he hasn't been suspended by any licensing body in boxing for his conviction of domestic violence, for the multiple instances of domestic violence that he's been associated with. No licensing body in boxing has actually stopped this man from fighting or suspending him for any length of time at all. He hasn't faced any consequences, right? And you think about the fact that even now, like you think about the amount of money associated with Floyd Mayweather and fighting and everything else, especially in a place like Las Vegas, who stands to make an enormous sum of money because of the economy that these types of fights bring about. I know a lot of people who went to Las Vegas for the fight, weren't actually going to the fight. They just wanted to be in Vegas for the fight. They spent a lot of money. So Las Vegas or the Nevada State Athletic Commission stands to make a lot of money for the state just to let this go on. If they say no, pretty sure the fight's going to happen somewhere else, whether that be in the country or whether that be outside of the country, but the fight's going to go on somewhere else. So there's a lot of little different things that kind of allow this kind of shit to go on, right? But I feel as if, you know, I feel like this. And I said this like earlier this week on Facebook. For a lot of men, especially black men, there's a sense of their manhood being tied into Floyd Mayweather, right? A lot of black men look at Floyd Mayweather and they see someone who's defiant, someone who's cocky, someone who's flashy, someone who's rich, somebody who's unrepentant and letting you know it, right? And they see someone as, they see him sort of like kind of spitting in the eye of the authorities, right? You know, everybody's coming at Floyd, man. Everybody coming at him, dude. They want to see this dude fail, man. He gonna go undefeated, man. He gonna go 48-0, man. Can't nobody beat this dude. They just hating on him, man. And he just say skip it. This is the attitude that a lot of dudes have. And you can't talk about Floyd Mayweather without talking about the money, because everybody wants to talk about what he got money, though. Right? So you got this attitude of the unrepentant, cocky, flashy, standing in the face of the authority kind of dude, right? A lot of black men see him as an embodiment. See him as an embodiment of who they see themselves as, or who they aspire to be. And that's scary as shit, right? Because there's so much more to being men than the cockiness, than the brashness, than the unrepentant attitude, than the fact that you got money. There's a lot more to being a man than that, that they aren't necessarily taking heed to, aren't necessarily thinking about, right? So when you talk about the domestic violence shit, all of a sudden they clam up. They don't even want to talk about it. Like, man, why are you bringing that shit up, man? Why are you bringing that up? They don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to acknowledge it, right? Because it's going to force them. It's going to force a lot of dudes to look at themselves and really analyze their relationship with the women in their life, right? Do you really love her? Do you? Will you stand up for her? Rekia Boyd was killed by the Chicago PD 3 years ago. There was a rally for her last week. 100 people showed up. Six of them was dudes. Six. How many people was out in the streets for Mike Brown? How many people was in the streets for Eric Garner? How many people were in the streets for Oscar Grant? How many people were in the streets for Sean Bell, Amadou Diallo, Abner Louima, Malice Green? That shit goes back. Rodney King. You know that Black Lives Matter, that whole movement was started by women? Our sisters got our back, dude. The whole thing started by gay women, as a matter of fact. And a lot of brothers got issues with gay people, period. But gay women started that whole movement. And it's not because they want to be with us so much. I mean, hell, like I said, those were gay women who started that movement. They did it because they understand what it is to love somebody else, to support a brother. We probably have brothers or uncles or fathers or cousins that they don't want to see that happening to. As men, I'm pretty sure you got a sister, an aunt, a mom, a grandma, a niece that you don't want to see that happen to. So why the fuck are we so quiet when these things are happening to our women? Do you really love her? Do you? Will you stand up and say, yo, man, you fucking up when it comes to a dude and his woman, especially when he's mistreating her? Will you stand up and say anything? Are you willing to lose friends over the fact that, you know what, I can't fuck with you if you think like that? Are you willing to lose friends over that? Are you willing to do that? Could you do that? Because you stood up for your people. Is that possible for you? So I know a lot of times, you know, folks, they get their lines, man, and I get it. I have my lines. There's certain things that, you know, don't necessarily affect me the way, you know, they may affect other people. But it's the principles for me. You know, that's just me. There's the principles there. I principally couldn't support anything that had anything to do with Floyd Mayweather. Not me. I didn't tell anybody to not watch the fight, because again, I understand that, yo, the issues that I have with Floyd Mayweather are my issues and my issues alone. Whether you feel what you feel about him, you feel about him. But it was sad to me this week to have multiple conversations with dudes about domestic violence, and most of these motherfuckers is coming to me talking about women provoking this shit towards themselves. We still having this conversation. Dudes are still walking around talking about, yo, man, sometimes you got to knock a bitch out. So the question is posed, do you still love her? Do you really love her? Right? Do you really love her? And I got a poll question out. I got a poll question I want you guys to take it, you know, kind of give your thoughts to. I got a poll question out of this about the sister, the mother, who pulled her son out of that riot. You know, I got that poll question set up on thespanreport.com. Matter of fact, let me pull that up real quick. Let me take a look at it so I can read this off to you. Do you feel that the mother who pulled her son out of the Baltimore riots emasculated him? No. What kind of stupid question is this? No, she was just trying to protect her son. Yes, he could be our next great revolutionary. Or yes, and she's parading around on TV showing America she's happy about it too. So go to thespareandport.com, vote in the poll. Let me know what you guys are feeling about that. But fellas, I really do sincerely want to know, do you love the women around you? And how much do you love the women around you? Do you really love them? Because honestly, when it comes to domestic violence, we ain't showing a whole hell of a lot of love. And when it comes to what happened to Rekia Boyd and Ayanna Jones and other sisters who have also been taken out by law enforcement needlessly, it's not a whole hell of a lot of love being shown by the brothers. But we get an overwhelming amount of support and love shown by our sisters, man. So, yeah, man. Do you really love her? Do you really love her? So, yeah. It's time to move on. Let's move on. Segue to another case, another story. And this next story I want to talk about was Floyd Dent, man. Floyd Dent was the man who was beaten down by Inkster police. And there has been an update in the Floyd Dent story. So check this out real quick.
Charges have been dropped against Dent.
Yeah, let's get straight to 7 investigator Jonathan Carlson. He's live in our newsroom now with the latest. Jonathan.
Yeah, hey there, guys. Today was a good day for Floyd Dent. Not a good day for Inkster. The chief's resignation is just the beginning. They now have Mr. Dent and his lawyer to worry about, too. A judge backing prosecutor Kim Worthy's decision to drop cocaine charges against Floyd Dent. It was January when Dent was pulled over, beaten, and accused by Inkster cops of having drugs on him. The truth about that drug charge remains a mystery, and officials are being coy. Meanwhile, after court, Dent had a message for former officer William Melendez, now charged with assaulting him.
Now it's your turn to get behind the bars, okay? I would like to ask him, I mean, why did he beat me like that? I mean, he had no reason to do it.
Dent was surrounded at court by family and friends, his lawyer telling us legal action is well underway.
Inkster has been committed to a process of negotiation. We have not filed a lawsuit. Our expectancy is that the right thing will be done.
Now, as for Melendez, he was sent to jail. His bond set at $25,000. He's due back in court next month. We're continuing to dig into that resignation. We're live in the newsroom. I'm Jonathan Carlson, 7 Action News.
All right. Thank you much, Jonathan.
All right. Now, yeah, man. Some justice being served. So we have to celebrate the small victories, too, man. You know, we have to celebrate the small victories, too. Was that Floyd? Floyd Dent was beaten by the Inkster police last January, needlessly, had drugs planted on him, beaten his head 16 times. He had broken ribs, a broken orbital bone, all sorts of things, man. There's another video that I also have on thespanreport.com for you guys to check out where you can see the treatment that he received while he was in police custody at the precinct, while he was in the city jail. You can go on to thespanreport.com and check that video out as well. But the update is Officer Melendez has been now charged with assault. He's been charged with assault of Mr. Dent, and the Inkster police chief has been fired. Listen, Chief Vicky Yost has been fired over in Inkster, man. So, we've been fortunate here in Wayne County when dealing with some of these cases where those in authority who have abused their authority or those who weren't necessarily in authority. You think about what happened with Renisha McBride. They're being held accountable. They're being held accountable. And we're seeing some of that now in Baltimore with the 6 charges or with the charges being brought about against the 6 officers involved in the Freddie Gray killing. So, yeah, man, sometimes we got to celebrate the good news, too. You know what I mean? Sometimes we got to celebrate the good news. Officer Melendez has been charged with the assault of Floyd Dent and Vicky Yost has been fired as chief of police in Inkster. So yeah, man, I felt like we needed to update that, man, because I know a lot of people were probably wondering what's going on with that story as well, especially in the greater sense of the Black Lives Matter, you know, the issues that we're dealing with this whole thing. So yeah, definitely had to get that out to you guys. But now it's time for the listener feedback portion of the show. I've got a voicemail to play for you guys, and here it is.
Hey, Mr. Span, this is Nikki. Thank you for reading my email. I did not realize till after you read your reading on air, all the errors in there. I wrote that email like in 5 seconds, but you say you want a voicemail, so I'll read you the email that I wrote while I was at work. If I hang up, that's because I'm at work. Okay, it says, I did mention, thank you for donating to my GoFundMe. I really appreciate that. Everyone out there, I'm trying to do some research on HIV and how it's affecting African Americans and here in the United States. And I'm going to go to London and look how they're doing their AIDS research and what kind of things are they doing to help the disparities between different ethnic groups and African Americans. Well, in England, they're not African Americans. They would just be Black people. So right. I'm trying to do research on that. If you want to donate, please go to my GoFundMe, which is at www.gofundme.com/MsNerdyNikki. But here was my email. It says, I was writing to you because you talked about the lady who was mad about Kendrick Lamar marrying a light-skinned woman. You brought up people dating outside their race. Well, I'm a Black woman, and I date out my race. People ask me often, do I have a problem dating Black men? I always say no. I do date Black men, and my dad is Black, so how could I hate Black men when my, you know, father, uncles, nephews, cousins, grandfathers are all Black, obviously. I don't like when people hate on, I don't like when people say negative things about their own race and why they don't date their own race. To me, that's just dumb. It's the most ignorant thing you can say. If you don't like someone, then it's to that person. I've dated men of all races, and anything that you can say about a Black man, I can say about a white, Asian, Hispanic, anything. My ex-husband was Black, and I have nothing wrong with Black. Thank you. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Like I said, I'm at work. My ex-husband is Black. Our divorce had nothing to do with him being a bad husband. We just grew apart as two people, but I would still, you know, no problems with Black men. My current boyfriend's Puerto Rican, and you can say all the racial stereotypes you want about Puerto Ricans, but he doesn't fit any of those. And I've been on dates with white guys, and they told me they don't date white girls. They only date Black girls. I've been on dates with Black guys who said the reason why they're dating, going to date with me, is because I'm a Black girl who knows how to act right, and I act white. And so when I hear that, I'm like, well, what does your mother act like? You know, or do you hate your mother? Your mother's Black, obviously. So that was my rant on that email. I think I sent it to you, but you can go ahead and delete it. And I said something about people having to pass, but I think this email went on a little long because I got interrupted by one of the physicians at my hospital. Well, you guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Nikki, for sending in that voicemail. And I did get the email, and I was going to read it, but then I thought about it. When I first heard this voicemail, I was like, well, no need for doing that. But thank you for sending an email and calling in. I appreciate it. One of the things about the dark skin activist, or that story about Kendrick Lamar and his engagement. Well, interracial dating. The only issue that I thought was messed up is when folks say that they're only going to date a certain race because they attribute negative attributes to another race. Right. So I'm only going to date white. A Black dude says I'm only going to date white women because white women don't have the attitude that a Black woman does. Right. Stupid shit like that. Or a white dude who's dating sisters only because it's like a fetish kind of thing for him, where he doesn't necessarily like women like that. He doesn't necessarily like sisters. He's just kind of fetishizing over them. So it's one of those things, man. My thing is, be with who you want to be with. Love who you want to love. Has absolutely nothing to do with me. But the only issue that I had with that was was when folks just try to attribute these negative attributes to other people as a reason as to why they're going to date another way. So, yeah, man, go ahead, girl. Do your thing. Do your thing. And, you know, like the whole passing thing, again, I was just trying to use that as an example of when folks talk about homosexuals and they're being in the closet, how there's also a racial equivalent to that. And passing for a lot of people, a lot of black people back in the day, was the equivalent of that. They were in the closet about their blackness, and they had to be. So I know a lot of folks, you know, they don't necessarily equate the two, but that was one of the things that kind of caught me because, you know, my great grandmother passed for white. You know what I mean? Like, I got pictures of my great grandmother. You would not be able to tell she was black at all. You know what I mean? I got an uncle named Tom that I found out just going through my random photo raids when I go home to Chicago and I'm trying to preserve all of the family photos. And there was this dude in the family. I'm like, who is that? They were like, that's Uncle Tom. I'm like, goddamn. Like, for real? So, yeah, man. Yeah, passing is a very real. It was a very real thing to a certain degree. It still is for a lot of folks. And it's almost to me the equivalent of telling a gay person that they should be living in the closet, that they shouldn't be who they are and they shouldn't be proud of who they are and that they should hide who they are as a person. So, yeah, but I really do appreciate you, Nikki, for writing in and for calling into the show. Thank you so much. And that's it. That was all the listener feedback that your boy Span got for this week. But, of course, again, if you want to get at me here at the Span Report Podcast, and, of course, let your voice be heard. There's a lot of different ways you can do that and do just like what Nikki did. You can call the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemails, and I will play those and respond to those on the show. Email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. I will read those. I will read those and respond to those on the show as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com. This episode, all the other episodes, all of the videos associated with these episodes, go to thespanreport.com, get your Span Report fixed there. And of course, leave me an iTunes review, leave me a Stitcher review, let folks know what you're feeling about the show, let folks know what you're thinking about anything we've said on the show, and participate in that poll. Again, go check out that poll about the sister who took her son out of that riot, man. Let me know what you're thinking about that. And before I get out of here, I almost forgot the poll results from the last poll. How the hell did I get this far? Poll results from the last poll. And that poll was whether or not you were thinking about child support when that brother lost his 7 kids in his life due to carbon monoxide poisoning, right? And I posed the question, were you thinking about child support in the report and when we talked about that case? And the results are in, and the 53% of the audience who listened to the Span Report wasn't thinking about that shit at all. 53% was not thinking about child support at all when talking about this issue or when talking about that story. 12% said that they thought it was odd that a father was raising 7 kids alone, but they also weren't really thinking about child support. So that's like 60%. 60% of the audience wasn't thinking about child support at all. But almost 40% were. 6% said, yes, if it had been the mother instead of the father, child support would have been a part of the story. So 6% of people thought that. And the other half was, yes, if the mother was paying child support, the power may not have been off and there would have been no need for a generator. 29% of people who listened to the Span Report thought that if that mother had been paying child support, that those kids would still be alive today. I'm going to just say I'm glad y'all in the minority on that one. Real talk, because like I said, man, I wasn't thinking about that at all. But yeah, those are the poll results for the last show. And again, it's time for me to get out of here, but hit me up at thespanreport.com. Go to the Span Report on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave reviews. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. Hit your boy up. Let me know what you guys are thinking. I got to get out of here. So until I talk to you guys again next time, peace.